It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Yes, we're back.
I like that you're able to do the full power up this time because we didn't have Brennan's delicate ears.
Brennan's out here being
sound like you having sex.
No, last time he was like, "You're being too loud. I can't. My ears, my soft bald ears." Shut your ass up, Brennan.
My soft bald.
Welcome everybody back to the Anime Shun podcast. I'm your host, Keenan Baker. I have Rob to my left.
Hello, hello.
And we have a special guest again. Well, I don't even want to call him a guest. He's friend of the show, you know. My man Ice.
That's right. He's back.
We have no Brennan for about, what, 2 months? Is it?
Just about, yeah. He's on the road with the job, so he'll be gone for about 2 months.
Yeah, he's going to be on the road for a job. So we'll probably be having various guests, most likely Ice.
Yes.
So this week, man, we're diving into Samurai Champloo.
Yeah, new show. Yeah.
New show.
Pretty dope show.
Yeah. One of the directors, the director of it was from Cowboy Bebop. This is interesting.
Okay. Yeah. That explains the soundtrack a little bit, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't gotten into Cowboy Bebop, so I'm not sure.
The only thing I know about it is the soundtrack.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the soundtrack for this show is hard as hell. So, Samurai Champloo came out in 2004 in Japan, okay. I think, and 2011 out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had a homeboy named Michael DeBay who told me to watch. And I watched 2 episodes like years ago. And then I just kind of left it to the side. Even though it was cool, I didn't fully get into it. But we're into it now and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good show.
It's pretty dope. Would you get your analysis on how to break this down, Rob, for the episodes?
Yeah, so we just did episodes 1 through 6. Started out with the intro. We kind of get... it starts off with like a blast from the past, does the rewind, kind of starts out in modern day and then does the rewind. And it even started out with kind of did the Quentin Tarantino thing where it shows the guy's about to get executed.
Right.
And it was a day earlier and then kind of rewinds. And then it shows kind of the events leading up to that. You had Mugen and Jin, who are both samurai in their own respective ways.
Right. Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. Very, very,
very different.
Different
styles. Jin is very, straight and narrow, like
technique,
the honorable path.
Yeah.
Technique, mm-hmm. absolutely. And then you have Mugen, who's very just like, he's
sporadic
wild.
And is everywhere.
Yeah. And he mentions he's from some sort of island or something like that, which we haven't heard much about that since then. But I wonder if that's going to come back up at some point.
Yeah, these first few episodes didn't really give either one of them really a background like that. So
you just know he's like... Like, Jin comes from, like, a dojo family and stuff like that. And he has a sensei and stuff that did Shoji with him and sword fighting and stuff. And then Mugen's just kind of everywhere.
Yeah, he's a wild boy. But I think his style of fighting is probably good that it's slightly reckless.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of throws people off.
I really like Mugen. Like... I'm always the fan of, I call him the archer or, Vash the Stampede type of dudes. Just, they're such aloof, but, they get shit done. They just fuck around so much. Like, Archer just messes around. Yeah. But when it comes time to do his job, he fucks shit up. Like, he always destroys people. And I think that's, Mugen is, he's everywhere. He's messing around. He doesn't give a crap, but, he gets shit done. Like, he doesn't play around. So I've always, that character type.
Yeah, and he starts off doing that right away because, they intro him. They're in this tea shop with Fu, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
She's serving tea or serving up drinks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you've got these, these troublemakers kind of just making life difficult for people around a guy that's just like, oh, I want to test out my sword on somebody.
Yeah.
And Mugen's just like... I'll kill them all for like 10 dumplings.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like 20 dumplings, something like that. She tries to talk him down a little bit, and he's just like, well, then I'm not going to do it. Mm. And then she gets herself in trouble spilling a drink or something like that. They're going to cut off her fingers.
Which sucks. She accidentally trips, and they go to the extreme like, oh, we should cut off the fingers, or maybe the full hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys go from 0 to 10 real quick.
Real quick. And then I think it ended up being like, what, some kind of governor's son or some shit like that.
Their leader was the governor's son, I think.
Right, and the boss's son is always a dickhead.
Yeah.
So this guy was just a dick out the gate. And so he, you know, she panics and just goes, "Oh, 100 doubling." He's like, "All right, let's do work."
Yeah. And then he gets in. He starts off just taking that one dude's arm off.
Yeah.
We see him come back.
But, yeah.
But then he just basically runs everybody through, and the guy's just like, "Don't you know who I am?" And he's like, "You know, my dad's the governor. He's got these badass dudes, you know, that could kill you in a second." He's like, "Go get him."
Right.
And I'm like,
"Yeah, no."
And I like how, like, yeah, and then he sits there. Y'all got like a few, y'all got a little bit of time. I'm going to start breaking this motherfucker's fingers.
Yeah.
And he's just breaking them.
Wow.
Yeah. And which is like normally what you don't do when you have the governor's son, when you hear he's this almighty powerful person or whatever it is. You can't be like, "All right, let me just hold him hostage. Maybe I get some bread for this kid."
Yeah.
He's like, "No, I'm going to break this kid down. He's a piece of shit."
Mm-hmm.
And then they go get the city, but they go get the assassins. But on the other end
is
Jin.
Jin is already taken care of. And watching it, initially I thought they were partners. And I'm like, "Oh, damn, Jin already took care of their ass."
Right.
Then Jin popped up like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, shit."
Yeah,
like,
they don't know who each other
are at all. They don't know who you are at all. And
they
start going at it and stuff. I'm like, "Oh, well, goddamn." And then that's just like the theme. Like, I always was waiting for that moment where they were like, "All right, we're together, you know, we're a team."
Yeah.
And
it's not, even when they split up and stuff, I thought it was a scheme to kind of, you know,
come
take them
down.
And they
the
both was like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" And I'm like, damn, they really left her. Like, I was like, "That's crazy."
Yeah. So Jin's back, you know, on the other, like you were saying, on the other side of it, he's just on the road doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Seeing this guy kind of begging the mayor, this governor guy, who's also an asshole.
Right.
Go figure.
Yeah.
You know, this guy's saying like, "Hey, you know, please take my payment. Like, you know, he needed help on something. I don't even remember
the road
what it was.
Or something."
And the guy's just like, "This is paltry offering," and is just like about to tell his bodyguards to take care of business. And Jin steps up and is just like, "Nah, I don't think so. Like, these guys are nothing." Cuts him down, like, doesn't even break a sweat.
Yeah.
So when they come looking for the badass guys, you know, they're not around.
Right.
So,
lunch meat.
Yep, pretty much. So then the guy that gets his arm cut off ends up burning down the tea shop,
you know,
as revenge or whatever. The son of the governor is in there. Jin and Mugen, who are fighting in the midst of this fire, end up, like, getting blamed for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Jin was just chilling in a bath, like a freaking pottery.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Bowl of
that was so random. And then they talk about it later, saying, was it a dream or whatever? But, like, no, I was just like, how does, like, they're in the middle of the fight, you just jump into a bathtub?
Just think about fighting somebody right now, and they just be like, "Man, where that damn jacuzzi at?"
Yeah,
like,
right.
If that's you, if somebody does that to you, right, and y'all in the middle of a fight, like a hand to hand combat, and somebody just goes, "I'm about to just take a dip in this pool," or whatever, how would you feel about your fighting skills? Because at that point, that's just like the ultimate sign of disrespect. I can whoop your ass. I can take a break and relax, and then whoop your ass.
I mean, there's a fire going on. This guy's basically making himself into a stew at this point, and he's just like, "This is fine."
Like, I'm going to take this, you know, I'm going to use the elements. Like, I've been wanting to be in a jacuzzi. I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just make the most of this situation and finally get this hot tub that I wanted.
I think I would stand there and just look at him, but, like, I would have to ask, are you serious right now? You don't take me that serious?
Yeah.
You see, but, you know, there was a part in it, because I was watching the first few episodes, I was watching in dub, and in the dub version, when Mugen's hair catches on fire, he says, like, "This is really cold." Was that in the Japanese version? Does he say that?
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
But
I remember he's like, "Yeah, so my body's cold. This is,
Something like that was cold." And I was like, maybe that was like a translation error, or they just, I don't know, if he was just being silly.
Might have been. I'm trying to remember that specific. I don't remember hearing that, but that was also like right after we had seen the guy in the bathtub. So I was like, something weird's going on. So I might have just written it off at the time.
You're probably like, why the fuck is he still in the bathtub? I'm still trying to.
He was chilling, had his leg out and everything, just
hanging out. So they end up getting tossed into prison. The governor's like, "All right, we're going to kill you tomorrow." I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know, Fu is with her former employers, and they're just like, "You know, aren't you going to stick around?" He's like, she's like, "Nah, I think she." Is that when she mentions at first the samurai that smelled like sunflowers had like taken care of her family, or not taken care of in the nice way, but like killed off her family? And she's like, "Well, I've seen these guys fight. They can take care of themselves. I'm gonna bust them out and, you know, basically pursue this samurai that smells like sunflowers, try to get my revenge. You know, if I can bust them out, get them indebted to me, then they can help me get my revenge." So she goes about setting up that plot, running around town, getting like these, we don't know what she's doing at the time, but she's basically getting these bombs or fireworks all set up, stuffing them down in her dress.
What was funny too is like, when she bought those, and then she was walking around, and like she was like bouncing around, like her titties was.
I was like, what the fuck?
I'm like, wait, when did she get titties? I'm like,
right?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what happened? I'm like, did I miss something? And I was like, oh, let me just watch it play out. Then she started bringing them out. I'm like, I know she had no damn titties.
Right? I was thinking the same thing. So so they're about to cut their heads off, right?
Yeah.
And she throws the bombs like down on it, and they bust each other out and like, you know, fight back to back style and just start taking care of business. Jin just slashes the governor very unceremoniously.
Yeah,
like there was no build up to that or anything.
That's how you should do it. I feel like that's how you should just do work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't like make it this whole thing. Just the main guy, I feel like when you take the main guy out or the guy with the power out, everybody else kind of freaks out.
Yeah. And that's exactly what they said, too, in the later episodes. It was like, we kill him, and then there's just like just a bunch of unorganized thugs just running around.
Yeah.
That was like the last two episodes, the fifth episode when they was like in that brothel and stuff, and dude was painting people and stuff. And
we'll get to that.
That was some shit. So that basically wrapped up episode one. Episode two started with them, you know, on the road, you know, kind of starting their journey to Edo.
Yeah.
They stop at this tea house. There's this old man that's just like, you know, I'm not really, he's really downplaying himself. Just like, I don't really have any skill. I'm basically a samurai in name only or whatever.
Right.
And then we hear about this ogre that had killed some people in some town not too far away.
Yeah.
And the one-armed man is basically hot on their trail looking for revenge. You know, he realized they got away from the fire. And so he busts this ogre out of prison, you know, right? And who's got this ugly face, and we kind of see a little bit of his backstory. He's got like a Frankenstein thing going on where he was so ugly the townspeople, you know, kind of rallied around him and were tossing fire at him, and he hulks out and killed them all.
Murders everyone.
Yeah.
I think it was a little extreme, but
imagine if Frankenstein went that way too, and he was just like,
yeah,
damn.
Yeah, you know? I felt bad because they went extreme because he's pretty ugly. Let's just face the facts.
Yeah, I mean, he is.
He's pretty ugly.
His eyes popping out of his head.
Yeah, but you don't kill somebody for being unattractive.
No.
You just don't. They just don't fuck. You know, they didn't get no pussy. So the fact that it's like, we're just going to throw fire at you.
Yeah, what were they doing? They were just like tossing like
torches. And it wasn't like a barrier or anything that he was in. He was just like in a random field, and it was like,
how does that whole thing start? They're just like, there he is, get him.
And then
he's clearly stronger than all of them, so if he would have just yelled really loud, I think he would have scared the majority of them. But you say, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna murder everybody since they want to call me ugly.
And it's just a long line of them just dead. And I was like, God damn, you just.
And that's when he snapped. So we got that guy. You know, those pieces are out on the board, and you know, they're traveling. There's Fu ends up getting trashed. You know, drinking sake
water
or whatever, thinking it's water.
Oh, my gosh.
They end up carrying her on the cart, which is where I brought up to you. At that point, Mugen in the Japanese version is just like, I'm going to rape this dumb broad if she's not careful.
And
I was just like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, in the English version, and you told me that because since I'm watching a few episodes in English, I look out for it. And in the English version, they change it to let's strip this broad and just toss her out in the street or something like that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm very on the fence about Mugen. I mean, he's obviously a great fighter, but he is morally suspect from time to time.
Oh, my gosh.
He was like, and that's the one that I saw, too, that I accidentally switched to sub. And I was just like, well, fuck it, I'm going to just keep watching. And he was just like, because they was pulling her on that cart.
Yeah.
He was like, she better be careful. I'm going to rape her ass. I'm like, whoa.
That is.
Whoa there.
And then later on, when you find out her age, too, it's like.
15?
You know,
she's 15.
I'm like, bro, you're wild.
You're wild. So regardless of the age, but still, like the fact that you would even say that, like, this is fucking crazy.
Like, he defaulted to, like, rape.
Yeah, he didn't
say, that was step one.
That was exactly. There's no steps, maybe, you know, he went to the extreme out the gate. He's a wild boy in this.
For sure. So they got those guys trailing him, you know, and it seems like the one-armed man is sort of like setting up his machinations, his schemes to you know, wait for him down the road. They end up meeting another girl who quite buxom, you know, falling out of her dress.
Yeah.
And she meets up with them, and I think she's asking for help or something like that. And Mugen's just like, oh, I'll help you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, rapey, of course he is.
Yeah.
So he helps her out, and she's just like, oh, why don't you come to my pad later and we'll hang out and just, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
She would say, like, by herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man and woman do when they're by ourselves alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Mugen's off with her. Jin is just like, all right, well, I better get her to where we're going. So they end up setting up shop in that like rickety cabin or whatever. Right. Mm. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to go take a dip in the hot springs. And just that old man from the tea shop, yeah, who's just like, oh, I'm a samurai in name only, just happens to be there.
Right.
Yeah. And he's giving like a speech about the fireflies and just like
being gay as fuck.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, like, let's, you know, sometimes the males flash to one another. I'm like, this is about to go down.
Damn, yeah, super unexpected. Was not even thinking that.
I didn't know where he was going with that. And then he said, I'm like, oh, okay, like, what does he mean? And he's just like, and then males, they attract each other. I'm like, whoa.
I was like, yeah.
And I thought, like, since Jen kind of being like a low mellow dude, I was kind of like, well, maybe that's what he's into.
I
could see Mugen being the guy that's like, yo, all the chicks are mine. And then this dude being like, okay, I guess I like boys from time to time, but it's not about sexuality. It's just about connection.
And that comes up later.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, he's just like, all right, well, I'm not trying to fuck right now, so let's fight. And they end up like basically bringing out the swords and going at each other.
Well, he's an assassin.
Right, because guys are like, I'm an assassin. I've been hired to kill you.
He's a gay assassin. I never heard of a gay assassin in any... Is there a gay assassin in any movie you ever seen before?
I feel like there's got to be something.
Somewhere.
I don't know. Again, going back to Tarantino, I'd be shocked if there's not something in there.
Real quick, question on the line. Question right now. Somebody's coming to kill you.
Uh-huh.
And they're gay. Your asshole's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
How hard are you fighting? And if they win, are you being like, all right, yo, I'm going to be, if this happens, I'm going to be unconscious? Or are you just saying like, all right,
like, are you different? Because if they're an assassin, they come to kill you.
I mean, if he's an assassin, though, I don't think he might try to torture first, then kill, because that's like taking manhood. It's like back in some slave shit.
Oh, there is gay dancing assassins in Pulp Fiction. That's how they did.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Those dudes in the shop.
Yeah, the gimp or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were on a very similar sort of tip. Yes.
Yeah.
man, I'm pretty fucking far from okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're just gonna have to kill me, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely. That's a fight to the death.
And if I think I'm a fight. I mean, this is my profession, but if there's any extra that I would give, it would be in that situation.
Yeah.
Just because, like you said, your asshole's on the line.
I would probably ask him. I'd be like, hey, so what's the deal? Since I know you're this way now, right? Is this your protocol? Or are you going to just kill me? Because if he just goes like, I'm just going to murder you, I'll be like, all right, fine. Do whatever you want to do to my carcass when I'm murdered. I don't care. I'm not alive.
At that point, I'm just a sack of meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want to do because I'm not alive. But if you're going to do this beforehand, okay, now I know I got to gauge how hard I have to go.
Kill yourself first, at that point.
Just freaking seppuku right there.
Yeah.
So while that's going on, Mugen's having his date back with this busty lady from the road, and turns out she's like slipping some poison in his tea as soon as they're getting down to it. No, she had the poison ivy thing going on.
In her mouth, yeah.
Yeah, she had the poison in her mouth, and she's just like, if you want the antidote, you got to go meet up with the one-armed man. Because he's got the antidote, and he pushes her off and runs away. He's trying to, you know, fight his way through the poison and sees Jin's occupied. And what's her face has been taken? What's her face? Fu has been taken by the one armed man and his ogre.
Oh, this is going to be a normal thing. She gets kidnapped how many times?
All the time.
Oh, shit.
So she's having her tender moment with the Frankenstein man, like, you're not that ugly. Like, people shouldn't kill you because you're so, like, the first time he's met a reasonable human being.
Right.
He's just like, oh, okay, maybe people aren't so bad. Yeah. So, but that's a very brief moment. You know, they kind of have a tender connection there. And then she gets brought out, you know, as the bait for the two samurai. And Jin is just basically having his sword fight out in the bamboo forest. And he's not really there for a lot of the big action, while Mugen meets up with the ogre, and they exchange some blows, but Mugen's poisoned, and he can't contend with a lot of what this guy's throwing at him.
Kind
of
struggling.
I'm in trouble.
And
then at that point, the one armed man, he kind of comes up to Fu, right? And he's gonna just like finish her off, and that's when the ogre is just like, no, like, you're not gonna kill my one friend.
Hulk smash, she thinks I'm nice.
Yeah, he gave him
Black
the
Widow.
He gave him the tight hug, a little bit too tight around the neck. And
I actually loved that. Broke his, like, because at first her little, I think that little squirrel thing.
Yeah, which pops up from time to time.
Yeah. Just knocks him in the water at first, I think it is. And then he comes up, and
that's
then
right.
he kind of does the wrestler's backwards choke out, breaks his neck. Yeah, loved it.
And then at that point, Mugen and the ogre kind of face off, and they're going to, you know, kind of do the samurai death charge at each other. And Fu's just like, no, wait, don't. And the monster, the ogre, drops his sword.
Yeah.
But Mugen is not listening to that.
Yeah.
He came out for blood, and he got it. And he ran that dude straight through.
I feel like Mugen is all about fighting and food.
Yeah.
When, you know, like he wants to fight. Every time he sees somebody, he's like, he wants opportunity to just be like, there's people over here, there's more than one. Like, he loves fighting groups of motherfuckers. Yes.
He does. He's just, because even in that first episode, he's like, I'm not going to give you any of that one at a time shit. You can come at me as many times as you want.
I don't want that honor just. Come at me, bitches.
I love that. And that's how I like it. Like, that's more realistic in her thing anyways. It's like, if you're going to fight, there's no honor in trying to, like, survive out here. Yeah. If you're trying to survive, there's no honor in this shit. We got to survive. So, he was going 5-on-1, which I thought was different because most animes do the whole 1-on-1 battle.
And they just, everybody's just in a circle waiting.
For my turn.
And this thing, too, is funny, too, is like, I always see those situations where it's like somebody got a gun and the other person got a gun and they're like, fuck this gun, and then like they square up and fight. Nah. I'm like,
come on, no way!
I am blasting your ass.
Yeah, right.
I'm so sorry.
What's the point of me having this gun?
Right, you out of position. Like,
bring it for it.
Die with some honor, and they just fling the gun. And then what's funny is they fuck each other up, and then they end up going after the gun at the end, and they fighting to try to reach it, and who can like. If you shot him, you wouldn't even be here.
Yeah,
like fuck all that honor stuff.
It's silly. It's silly.
Yeah, but yeah, it's funny too. I was thinking about that as like. It gave me flashbacks to like when I was younger, and then like I just had homies in St. Louis that were just like that. Like anywhere you go with these guys, they're like, "Man, fuck that guy," and you start fighting. It's like fuck, and then you got
to
fight because you
have to
around.
Like, I guess this is what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're fighting now, and it's just like just seeing Mugen. It was so many of my friends that I saw in them, and just like without the raping part, I ain't got no raping friends.
Yeah,
no 15-year-old raping friends, but just the pure. Seeing people always wanting to fight, always talking shit, and always trying to save people is just like, all right, bro, like, goddamn. I mean, you have to, like, to the point where you start reevaluating if you even want to go out with them because you know.
Oh, I had those friends.
They're going to be on some bullshit.
So, yeah, basically, after the ogre guy gives the guy the death hug, the guy that Jin is fighting looks over and is just like, oh, well, my boss got killed and. Nobody's going to pay me anymore, so, all right, well, see you around. Like, give me a call if you want, you know? And he kind of pieces out.
Maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. And he's just like, I'm sure we're going to meet again. And he's like, all right. And they kind of meet back up, and they're like, well, that was weird. Let's just, you know, keep walking down the road and try to get to Edo.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the next two episodes are a two-parter.
Yeah.
Jin and Mugen are just like, you know, they're sick of Fu kind of, you know, bossing them around or whatever, kind of guilting them that, you know, I let you out of prison or whatever, so you owe me your lives. And they're just like, you know what, fuck this shit. Mm. So they hit the fork in the road, which is got to be the worst fork in the road. It just goes around in a circle and leads to the same town.
Yeah.
That's so silly.
That was ridiculous.
So they both end up in the same town on the opposite side of this, like, Yakuza civil war that's happening in this town. One of them is, like, an honorable Yakuza that's like, you know, I've seen all the bloodshed from over the years. I'm not about that.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is a little bit more wild, but even he's not about the violence side of it. He's just like, I want to secure power, but without the bloodshed. He's trying to do that lawful evil type of thing where he's just like, I'm going to use the system and game the system and just try to steal the power from underneath these guys.
Right.
So he set up all these brothels and, you know, gambling houses, and he's just taking everybody's money away.
Trick gambling,
pretty much. So Mugen, of course, winds up with the dishonorable guy.
Of course.
And Jin, of course, ends up with the honorable guy, and they end up on opposite sides of this civil war. Mm-hmm. Fu, you know, basically gets conned into breaking a vase or whatever, and they're just like, oh, you owe us some money. Guess you're going to be a prostitute now to make that money back
up. How does that even work? Like, you break. Just imagine going into a store, going into a freaking Walmart, and you knock over a glass, and Sam Walton Jr. is just like, it's like he's gonna be on the corner of Pico.
Yo,
I want it back.
That's crazy because that's normally like what happens like if you don't pay for food at a
you wash dishes.
Yeah. they go to like, all right, you're gonna have to give your body up.
You're gonna
15.
Have to fuck your way out of this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of. All right, I'll say this about this anime. This is the only thing that's been kind of like turning me a little off. There's a lot of sexual very stuff, and these are like these are young girls. I guess maybe a lot of anime has this thing where maybe they have fantasies for young girls or school girls type thing. And it's just, that's the only thing that I'm not into like that. I'm just like, what I be seeing, I'm like, why?
15. Right. And that's the thing, too, that kind of threw me off on Kill or Kill. And it was like, because I finished it and all of the sexuality of it is like, yo, mama is sitting there caressing the 17-year-old daughter's titties and stuff.
What
and I'm
the
like,
fuck?
Yeah, when we watch Kill or Kill, everything about it is dope. Yeah. But the some of those scenes, you just be like, why? This was unnecessary. This wasn't even necessary to have. But like that's what made me just a little uncomfortable again. It was just like, oh, here we go.
What are these Japanese dudes on,
bro? Yeah. Yo, like when you're writing this, like, and maybe because out there, maybe in certain types of culture, that's more acceptable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know that culture like that. But it's in a lot of their animes.
Yeah.
You don't see Kenan doing a Dateline.
Why don't you have a seat?
All in he's just in Ikonawa, just freaking talking to everybody in Japan and everything.
Why
going around
are you I mean maybe we could chalk it up to like it's a period piece and you know people back in the day definitely did some shady shit.
And back in the day, which you know it's terrible to hear now, but it's like back in the day, like people, like older men were like marrying 14-15 year old women stuff like that. So but yeah, back in, I guess this is based back in I think the 16th century or 17th.
I think it's the 1800s.
It's 1800s, right?
Like
that. So. Yeah, and so back in that time it was kind of no holds barred with the age of like which is ridiculous, but yeah.
It's just what it was at the time.
Yeah.
But so meanwhile, there's like this B story that, you know, the honorable Yakuza, he has this son and they have this kind of family under their protection. And the son is trying to protect this girl. It seems to be infatuated with her. Mm. And her dad's in some gambling debt to the dishonorable Yakuza.
Right.
And they're just like, all right, well, you're going to work off your debt by, you know, giving us your daughter. And she's going to the brothel, too, to hang out with Fu. And they're going to, you know, again, they're going to fuck their way out of this. Right. That's pretty much what it's going to come down to.
Jesus.
So it basically all comes to a head at this brothel, you know, because Mugen is there basically waiting for whoever this Yakuza bodyguard is going to be, and which turns up to be Jin.
Right.
Mm. And then they're just like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing here? Right. You know, like you
and
were
that's
saying
when
earlier.
I was like, oh shit, they didn't have a plan.
No.
Right, right.
They were literally just like, 1, 2, 3, split.
Right.
And then Fu just happens to be there. It's just like, hey, you guys still owe me your lives. Picks up right where she left off.
Right.
Right where she left
off.
Not
help me nothing. Just,
no.
Oh, you clowns.
Yep.
That's so crazy, too, because I was like, because I legit thought, like, all right, cool, like, that's their plan to dismantle it from the top to the bottom.
Right.
And, you know, undo it. And they were just like, nah, deuces. Like,
yeah, pretty much. And then Mugen just starts cutting down his own guys to get at Jin.
Yeah.
Which is the other part. We're just like, fuck, this dude has got, like,
zero honor.
None. And all of his teammates are just like, what? They go to the boss and they're just like, what the hell with this guy? And he's like, well, now everybody knows what a badass he is, and they're not going to fuck with us, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because they know he'll even cut down his own guys.
Well, yeah, because remember, there was like a second hand, there's like a right hand man to the guy, and he was like kind of jealous of Mugen, being like, yo, you letting this guy be the guy now. Mm-hmm. I've been here for you type shit.
Right.
And that comes back into play where he's kind of like, he turns. But like, yeah, Mugen has zero respect, zero honor. He goes by his own code, which is kind of cool, but he's just like, yo, I want to, because remember, they're, Jin and Mugen, they just like their whole thing's like, I just want to kill this guy, because kind of like they respect each other,
right?
Fighting wise, but they're like, all right, our thing is we want to kill each other,
yeah.
Right? And then she's kind of like, y'all can't do that until after we do this sunflower thing. Then y'all can do whatever, but we need to get to my agenda
in the
first.
Meantime.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they got a very like Batman and Joker sort of relationship,
right?
Mm-hmm. So that episode ends with that whole fight at the brothel. Jin ends up taking off with the honorable Yakuza son, and is just like, hey man, if you pull a sword, like, you better be ready to use it, and like, you're just clearly not ready yet. And Mugen, on the other hand, is just like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't get my blood. You know, all I killed were the guys on my own side. And the Yakuza's just like, listen, man, maybe stop drawing your sword. Like, we need to secure power
calming
through this bloodless, you know, through bloodless means. And he's just like, you know what? Fuck that. Like, I'm out. Fuck all this. And, and Mugen just walks away from it all.
Yeah.
Basically.
He's thinking somebody's going to be after him.
Yeah.
And then nobody.
They knew better.
Well, he said, he's just, because the guy, he's like, send your guys. Send anybody. That's right. That's fine. Like, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping you'll send somebody after me, because that's how I get my rocks off. Right. I mean, raping and killing. That's pretty much Mugen right there.
Oh, shit.
But.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah.
kind of. Yeah. Right? So at that point, Jin and the honorable Yakuza are still like, all right, how are we going to get our way out of this one? You know, they kind of end up sitting down with the dishonorable Yakuza because he's just like, listen, your guys came to my place and fucked shit up. Like, how are we going to rectify this? And they're like, this civil war can't keep going on. It's all going to come down to a dice throwing contest.
Yeah. And then because what's the name of his son? Killed that he went up to the
that's right.
Yeah, he killed that dude at the brothel.
Yeah, he killed
and
one of the
like,
made men.
We were just hanging out, minding our own business, and your son came and killed one of our guys. So
that's
like,
right,
life for a life, like type of thing. And he was like, "Oh no, you take my son's life and give you all of my territory." Like either way, when he was explaining it, I'm like, "He gonna lose either way." Like either way, he
yeah,
lost.
I didn't get
I was
that.
Like, "That's
yeah.
so stupid." Like,
yeah.
I was kind of, it was weird because both guys were like hoping to lose at the end and somehow that was how they won. And I'll be honest, that kind of confused me. I didn't really get how that worked out. But what ended up happening is, you know, they end up having this, you know, they're going to gamble. You know, the honorable Yakuza comes in with Jin. The dishonorable Yakuza comes in with just, you know, his right hand man because Mugen's taken off. And he comes in with the other Yakuza's son and is just like, all right, like we're gonna gamble for this. And he had already had some fix in where he was gonna make sure that the dice throwing didn't come in, so he could have his, you know, his cheater, his dirty guy throw the dice and secure that whatever result he wanted was what he was gonna get.
Right.
So that ends up getting fucked up too, and Fu ends up being the dice thrower, which turns out she's got some skills.
Yo,
yeah, she came in through the. Took half her gi off or whatever it is.
Yeah, she's on some Vegas type gambling, throwing the dice against the wall. I was like, yo, she from the hood.
Yeah, she's got some experience.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about Fu. She's seen some shit.
Yeah.
So she's just like, all right, place your bets. It turns out the honorable Yakuza ended up winning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So but again, both of them wanted to lose.
Right.
For whatever reason. So the guy's just like, all right. And then I think at that point, Mugen busts in, right?
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, well, I'm going to bust this up. You know, he's back on his, like, I'm trying to fight or whatever.
Back on my bullshit.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much. And so the honorable Yakuza's just like, you know, I can't, I'm gonna kill myself, end this bloodshed, let my son go kind of thing. You know, he kills himself. And
but
then,
like he said, it was really for nothing.
It really was.
Yeah.
I didn't get that at all.
And even he was like, bro, what do you, like, everybody was like, bro, why did you kill yourself? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
Even he says, like, he just died for nothing. And I was watching it like, yeah he just died for just nothing.
Idiot. Well, I had a question and we kind of skipped over this because it was kind of a small tidbit. But,
right.
The girl that they took, remember she was in the brothel and she was kind of like, well, we can get you out of here. She was like, no, I'll chill and I'll just pay my family's debt by giving my body up.
All right, because she's like, if I leave, they'll kill my dad.
All right. My question is, what would you do in that situation? If it's you have a family, what family member would you give your body up for like that?
Oof.
And it's on some, So, I mean,
it's going to be something you don't like.
Yeah, yeah. the theme of this show has been a lot of gay stuff going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you had to go both ways, somebody was like, sometimes women come in there and be like, they want some, or sometimes men come in there, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, yeah,
who are you willing to get your body up for, or if anybody in your family at all?
I don't know. This definitely reminds me of that, like, who would you give your life up for question you had during the Yu Yu Hakusho.
But this is life. I mean, this is something. Tough. But it's just something you can live. I feel like this is tougher than giving your life up for.
This is way tougher.
Yeah.
Way tougher.
Because in a way, it's like.
If it was just women. I will sling all the dick around, even to fat, ugly girls, somebody I find not attractive, whatever.
Ooh.
I would sling it around for my family.
Yeah.
But you throw men into the mix, then it's like, that list. Like, there's a nice good 10 to 15 people if it was just women.
Yeah.
But you throw men into the mix, that list.
Yeah, it gets much smaller,
right? It gets a lot smaller. You know, I maybe mom, I don't know about my dad. I love my dad, but my sister for sure, you know, close family, like children for sure would be there.
You have children?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so maybe that's it. That would be it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that would be the end of the road there.
Well, I'm just thinking too is like if she runs, like you got a head start. Like grab your dad and get out of town.
The fuck out of here. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Don't wait for them to come get you. Like go somewhere else. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's that's tough, man.
You don't know who you do it for, Rob.
I mean, it's a similar list like what we were talking last time. I mean, you know, my family, you know, my loved ones, my girlfriend, like if they were going to kill her, and it's just like, oh, that's tough.
I ain't going to lie. My girlfriend's a dead motherfucker.
Yeah.
There's just no, I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
You'll come back out of that a different person maybe too. Just like, man, I've some things happen.
Yeah. Well, because I have a quick point in a second. But like for me, like I know for me, my dad and my brother would just be like, bruh. Nah, don't worry about it. Like, I know how my dad is. Yeah. My dad's a Marine and stuff like that. He's like, nah, nigga, like, you know, fight your way out of that shit if you can. If not,
right.
Fuck it. You know what I mean? So my list is none. So, man, this is my thing. It's because, I don't know if you, and this is just sidetrack a little bit, but it's to the point. I think it was a show called The Shield or something like that. It was like, I think it was on FX back in the day.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't see it, but I remember.
Yeah. The Ballhead dude, yeah. And it was like an episode where they caught one of the cops, I think it was, and they was like, yo, you have to, they caught him. And it was like, they're about to kill him. And it was like, well, if you don't want to die, you want to see your family. Because I think they had seen that he had like a daughter or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they had put a gun to his face and was like, you either got to suck my dick, or we're going to blow your fucking head off and you'll never see your family again, of course, because you're dead. Yeah. And then he ended up, you know, doing that. But he was never mentally the same. Like, he was, like, he was done mentally for, like, the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that gets, like, you know, raped or whatever, that's going to break you down.
But even the thing, too, in my head is, like, for me to even think about doing it, I need 110% guarantee you're not going to kill me after this over. Like, not kill me, but, like, my family straight. Fuck it, you can kill me after it's over.
Yeah.
But make sure, like, long as my family straight, then I'll be like, okay, at least I consider it. But don't, because some people, like, in that situation, picture Mugen doing that. Like, Mugen has no honor. So you do that, he'll let you suck his dick, and then he'll cut your head off. Like, and then go, and then still go fuck up with your family. So
yeah, pretty much.
You didn't get nothing out of that situation. Yeah. So I would just need some type of
assurance.
That's like, y'all, they're good.
You're right.
Because somebody that gives you that ultimatum is not right in the first place.
It's funny. You saying Mugen, I think Mugen would probably be this type of shit. Like, you do it, you take a picture, and be like, ah, he's gay. And then, boom, he give it to your family and still kill you. And look at your daddy, he was dishonorable. He sucks dick. And then.
And still, your family still be in debt.
And it, exactly. Yeah.
So they kind of wrap the whole thing up with, you know, the guy that had flipped sides a couple times, who was the dishonorable Yakuza's right-hand man when we kind of meet up with him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know what? You are dishonorable, and I'm going to go back helping the guys that I started out with, and kind of cuts down the dishonorable Yakuza. It's just so both guys end up dead. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, I guess at that point, it just basically reverts to the son as the heir. He's kind of just like, all right, well, my
is
dad's
black,
dead.
The right-hand dude?
You know, maybe.
Yeah, I think he's voiced by a black actor, and he kind of looked.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, they definitely had some characters with some darker skin in like these last few episodes.
Well, yeah, and I'm sorry. In the English version, he sounds black actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In the dub version, I don't know what he sounded like.
Yeah, I mean, because we'll get to that later. Mm. But so they kind of wrap that whole thing up like pretty clean.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they end up Mugen and the right hand man that killed the Yakuza are just like, all right, well, you know, it's kind of been building up to this whole time. I guess we gotta show down, and Mugen just like makes real quick work of him. Like, there's really no competition. He just slashes him down. The guy's like, all right, well, I guess that's that. He died for no reason too, basically.
It's a lot of honor in this show when it comes to these, like, I'll fight you for the honor and pride. He could have walked away and lived his life.
Yeah, man.
And Mugen didn't even want to smoke with him. Mugen was just minding his business, and he was like, there's stuff that I have to atone for before and then after that, maybe I'll come back. Like,
yeah.
It just comes down to that, like, samurai, like, Bushido stuff, you know? Like, the honor is just, it is just on another level that, like, we don't get it. Like, it's a cultural thing of just, you know, you do everything 110%.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. And, like, I've looked, the little bit that I've studied or, like, read about, like, Japanese culture, like, it was kind of about that. Like, you just gave everything, and that was, like, your life, your manhood, everything was about, like, the work you put into it. So that's why it was just like, I do this 110%.
Right. Yeah,
that's why seppuku was so big, because all those samurais would come back home after loss or doing something, and they'd be like, well, that's it for me. Like, you know you can go back out there and try again. you know there is a,
not for them, man.
It was like, nope, I'm dishonored. Boom.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, fuck. Shit. There, I mean, this was this is kind of a little tangential, but there's this other podcast I listen to called Hardcore History, and they just recently did a whole thing about like the Japanese, kind of like a brief history, and then like also their involvement during World War II. Mm-hmm. They're even saying like, you know, World War II, that's, you know, 70 years ago or whatever. Yeah. But even then, like, that's less than 100 years ago. And when soldiers, like Japanese soldiers, were going out to war, he told this one story about like this Japanese soldier just got recruited or whatever. He's about to ship off, and his mother on his way out the door hands him a knife and is just like, so you can kill yourself if you get captured.
Yeah.
That's your family.
Right.
You know, that's your mom.
Right.
Giving you that dagger out the door to be like, here you go.
Right.
You know, so this is just, that's just how it is for
that,
them.
That tells you how gangster the whole family is. Because out here, we're like, make it home by any means necessary. Yeah.
And they're just like, if you come home without a win, like, don't come home.
Yeah.
Basically.
I'll be like, Mom, what the fuck is this? A cyanide pill? What the fuck,
seriously.
This shit out of my face.
So anyway, Fu, Jin, and Mugen just basically destroy that town.
Yeah.
And then they leave. And they, after that, they're on their way to, they get sidetracked in another town because they can't afford the boat ferry,
right,
basically.
Right. Yeah.
So they're broke and they're like, all right, let's all split up and try and find a way to make some money.
So, I still have trouble trying to decipher like their currency system.
Yeah, it's like they got coins,
but like I don't know like how what's worth what, because the dude had that big old plate.
Yeah, he's got like the meow thing.
Yeah,
that just kept thinking about Pokemon, the meow on the forehead.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah, and I'm like I don't know what's worth what, like,
yeah,
because then he had a handful, because all of them had a decent amount of money throughout that episode that they got, and then all of them were just broke, and I was just like, and then you can buy dumplings with some and squid with this. And I was like, okay, bro, I don't.
Yeah, I do not get it. I'm just going to take them at their word for it, basically.
Right.
So Mugen goes out and making his money just literally by robbing people.
Yeah.
He just finds some thugs or whatever that are giving people trouble. And he's just like, I don't know, why don't you empty your pockets? You know, tells him to start jumping up and down, finds out the punk rock dude with the skull tattoo on his forehead or whatever, he's been holding out. So he's just like, all right, give me what you got.
He says, start jumping. I'm like, oh, that's some gangster shit.
Yeah.
You're listening for those jingle in the pockets. Yeah. Jin is basically just like gambling money on board games. And Fu ends up basically getting a modeling job with this creepy dude with long fingernails. And immediately I'm just like, long fingernails, do not trust that dude.
That is the same exact thing I thought, Rob.
It was the lip gloss that got me. I'm like,
Yeah, super sus. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And then like in the B plot, there's like kind of this CSI feudal Japan thing going on.
Right.
You've got the voiceover from the grizzled detective that's like, all these women have been kidnapped from this town recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm on the case. I'm trying to like figure stuff out. And he's following this artist around and kind of watch him interact with Fu. And the artist is just like, hey, listen, like you're very beautiful, I think you're a pretty lady, like let me feed your friends, like you think you could come over later to my place, I could draw you a little bit, which is just like, you know, setting off every fucking creepy alarm.
I have to draw you, right,
what the fuck. So he ends up drawing her, but then she gets kidnapped because he's really part of this whole, you know, basically
sex trafficking
ring, trying to basically ship off young girls to the Europeans who are, you know, anchored offshore.
Mm-hmm.
Which at this point too, like also from that hardcore history thing I learned about, at that point, like Japan was shut off from the world. Like they knew the outside world was there and they were just like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Nobody's allowed in or out of Japan, basically. They only allowed the Dutch in, which comes up later.
Yeah.
It was just in one single port. Yeah. Everywhere else, it was like, we do not want outsiders.
Yeah.
No fucking thank you.
Right.
So they were, you know, so the Europeans are set up offshore, basically waiting for, you know, these sketchy people to bring them, you know, these young girls for them to bring back to wherever in Europe. And so they all kind of like get wound up in that. Mugen ends up kind of coming around because it turns out the people he's robbing are actually the kidnappers.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of following them, still looking for them to get their change. It turns out the artist is kind of the fuckboy for this like old woman that's running the comic book shop or whatever.
Oh, you actually mean fuckboy in the sense of,
I
thought you were using slang. Like,
well,
I mean, basically, she's just like, hey, like, give me the dick or whatever.
Right.
And he's just like, not tonight. I'm real tired.
I got
a headache.
Stomach ache.
And so he's just like, no, I can't. And so he basically he throws his lot in with Moog and is just like, hey, you know, we gotta bust her out. Like, you know, she's the first person that actually liked my art, so he resonates with her. And
she commented on my sunflowers.
Yeah, so he grows a conscience or whatever out of nowhere, basically. And it's just like, all right, let's try to bust her out. So he and Mugen roll up on these guys, and the cop guy busts out of the barrel wearing a thong or whatever.
Super late. Freaking fell asleep.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, I guess they're gone.
Yeah, they missed my time.
Shit.
Clown ass.
So they end up chasing her down to the comic book shop. Meanwhile, the cops all show up, and they're like, you know, they're going to bust this place down. And it turns out the ringleader of this whole thing is the old man that Jin's been playing this chess game with the whole time.
Choji, yeah. Yep.
So they end up busting the whole thing. It kind of comes to a pretty... gets wrapped up real quick.
They're really good about that. They don't fuck around.
Yeah, they wrap.
Like, this is this, boom, tied up.
Yeah,
move on.
And then side note, this is what the second time she got kidnapped. Okay,
yeah,
something like that. Second or third time.
Okay, keep going.
The one thing I forgot to rewind a little bit. We did get a little bit of Jin here.
Yeah,
his backstory, because he's talking with a guy and he's like, "Oh, my master, my dojo taught me how to play this game. I never beat him."
Yeah,
and he goes, "Did you ever beat him with a sword?" And Jin doesn't say shit.
Right. Yeah,
which means he probably killed his ass.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
Me too.
Like, Jin killed this man. He's on a journey of atonement.
Yeah, because he's even called a Ronin at one point. Like, so he's masterless at this point. Which at that point, if you're a Ronin, like, that's very dishonorable as well. You're supposed to be tied to somebody, some shogun or something.
See, I never knew that.
Yeah. Ronin is supposed to be like some. You're just out on your own. You're not.
That's just a rogue,
basically.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty tight.
So after that episode, they fast forward to Ito. Fu, Jin, and Mugen kind of roll up into town. They're having this, you know, food eating contest, it seems like. And they're all just like, fuck yeah, like, let's get in on this because we're all starving.
Right.
They have no sort of money to enter into this. So, of course, they put up all of their worldly important possessions, their swords, basically.
Yeah.
And they enter in. And Jin taps out first because he's never been the eater of the group.
Yeah.
I was actually really surprised Mugen tapped out as early as he did because we've just seen him put food away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? He went and got squid right after he ate the squid at the fuckboy box.
So. Yeah.
But Fu is, it turns out, is the one that can really eat.
Yeah, she gets down.
Ooh, she puts it away. And then there's this tall guy in the back who we haven't seen him before, but it turns out he's this guy with blue eyes and red hair, so they know he's not from around town.
Yeah.
And he ends up winning because Fu slaps her hands together trying to kill a fly and accidentally gives up. And it's like, oh, come on.
Right.
Come on. So they lose all their swords or whatever, and they approach the guy, and he's like, well, I'm not going to just give it back to you.
Yeah.
But clearly I'm not from around here, and I want to see Ito, so if you'll be my tour guides, you know, I'll give it back. And
at least he didn't revert. My thing is, like, he wasn't like, well, you can go suck some dick. So, like, fucking throw it back a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He was just like, just tour me around. He was like, all right, he's a stark difference from the rest of these guys.
Yeah, seriously. He's just like, I just want to be shown around town. And and Jin actually shows his first, like, sort of, you know, morally gray sort of moment where he's just like, oh, yeah, I know, Ito. I'll show you all around town. And Mugen's just like, you don't know shit. Like, you just got here, man.
He wanted those weapons back. We, though, in the side note for that, what I thought was hilarious is that Fu was fat for, like, a good,
that,
like,
was pretty funny.
For, like, 5 minutes in the episode. Yeah. The way she even was like spoke, when she was kind of like, she sounded fat too. I was like, that was a good little twist, little spin.
That was a fun little moment. So they're showing him around town. Meanwhile, while that's going on, like, you start hearing there's rumblings around town. The sheriffs or whatever are like, oh, we've heard there's a European somewhere in town. We need to, you know, basically lock him down and get him out of here because they're not about that life.
Yeah.
And so they're showing him around, and they get to the restaurant, and Jin's just like, well, that's about it, right? We showed you around town. Can I get my swords back? And the guy's like, I don't think so. Like, there's still more that I want to see. And that's when the cops roll in, looking for the Europeans. And Mugen's just like, sweet, cops! Like, and of course, just starts throwing shit around.
Right.
You know, immediately starts causing trouble.
Right.
And they end up running away. The guys, at that point, did they go to the play? Is that what it was?
They kind of like, they end up running into the play by, like, kind of like an accident. Yeah.
So they're basically on the run, and they're just like, all right, the cops are after us. Why don't we stop and see this play? So that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Such a great idea.
And so they watch this play. The guy's like, wow, this is really beautiful. I want to meet this woman that was the performer. Turns out it's a man, you know, just some real you know, Madam Butterfly type of shit.
Yeah.
And but he's just like, oh, I'm cool with that. Like, I like dudes.
Yeah.
I'm gay. Like, that's why I'm here is because I was in Holland and they very much frowned upon that shit. I read about in Japan that, you know, part of the Bushido code is like, if the man loves another man, that's cool. They can have this very honorable sexual type of relationship. And I wanted to explore that.
Is that true, too? Because I never knew any, because I didn't know that the culture of like that was like even, I never heard anything remotely about that stuff over there like that.
I've always heard, like, you know, I don't know anything for sure. I'm certainly not an expert, but I definitely heard things about that where, you know, even in Greek culture,
they sort of
promoted that because it was like, oh, there's a connection between like soldiers sometimes. And it's like, you know, that kind of thing of like, well, you'll fight harder if you're, you know, romantically involved with this person, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
I certainly can't speak entirely to it, but it wouldn't be the first time that I had heard of something like that. And I think I've heard of that in Japanese culture.
I heard of it for sure in Greek. I think that's where alpha male came from. People are like, I want to be an alpha male. I think alpha male came from the Greek being the alpha, taking over the beta male boys and taking, you know, taking the hood. Yeah. But like, that I never heard of that in their culture. So that's why I was kind of like a little bit shocked by that. Yeah.
Right.
And you would think people that say that are so extreme to the point where you're like, either win or die, would not believe practice anything like that. You think that's like people that go to those type of extremes don't play stuff like that, especially really big family oriented, because you know the overpopulation in places like that, China, Japan,
right,
is a huge thing. So somebody having sex to have all these kids and stuff, so you would think like being, you know, gay would you would think homophobia is a big thing out there, but if that's the case, then
didn't seem to be an issue.
Not at all.
I mean, it's so really, even with the assassin earlier, I mean, he seemed to be just kind of out and proud doing his thing. He's just like, all right, like, this is just me. I mean, it worked out for them. But so he kind of divulges that whole thing to them. And then the cops show back up and they go back on the run and they get kind of on this like fashion runway or whatever. And it turns out that the Dutch guy is not just anybody, but he's actually some sort of like governor representative or something like that. It's got to meet up with the shogunate. And they're like, listen, like we got to get you out of town. Like his whole Dutch crew shows up. And I don't know how it was in the English dub, but in the Japanese sub, like they literally had like the Dutch, like they were all speaking in their native language, and like they had to put, it was weird because they had Japanese subtitles and then the English subtitles like over top of the Japanese subtitles, and I was kind of like, all right, I can read this. But he's just like, all right, like I had my fun, like thanks for showing me around, here's your blades back, you know, it was nice to meet you guys or whatever. And then as he's leaving, I guess because the Dutch had brought sunflowers to Japan. Fu's just like, hey, you know, I'm looking for this guy that smells like sunflowers. Do you know anything about it? And he's like, no, I don't really know anything about any of that. But she shows him this skull thing. And she's like, this is one of his possessions. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you got to keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
But if you want to know more, you got to go to Nagasaki. And she's just like, all right, well, that's where we're going next. And that's where they take off to. And they're just like, all right, that's the close of the Edo chapter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Nagasaki chapter is next. And that's basically where we'll pick up next time.
Yeah, episodes 7 through 12. So how do you guys feel about, Rob, how do you feel about the anime so far?
I like it. There's definitely some stuff that I'm like, all right, you know, it's a little, I don't know. The word that keeps coming to mind is crass, but I feel like such an old man saying that. But, you know, like there's definitely some shit where just like Mugen, I'm just like, could maybe, you know, take it down from an 11 or 12 down to like a 9 or an 8, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. Have some more.
Yeah. I like Jin a lot. I know you guys were saying like you like the wild characters. I like the honorable characters. They're just like, this is my code. Yeah. I perfect my art. My killing is my art. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just like very precise. I'm interested to see where he goes. And I want to know more about his shit because he's keeping everything very close to the vest.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, Mugen definitely has something interesting. He came from this island nation.
Right.
He's got this sword that's way different than what anybody else is dealing with.
Right.
He's got like, you know, the hilts on it. Mm-hmm. The you know, looks like Raphael, like the Ninja Turtles, you know, his size or whatever. I don't know. I like it. I think it's pretty cool. And I mean, they definitely sexualize women a lot in this, but I think Fu is still a pretty strong female character.
Right.
She's pretty cool. She's smart. She's basically their leader and is kind of keeping their shit together.
Yeah.
It's going to be really interesting to see where these guys all end up.
She's definitely the brains of this operation.
For sure. And this weird squirrel that keeps running around in her dress. Yeah. A little weird.
Ice, how you feel about it?
I like it. I feel like this is something that I would have to like watch all the way through. Like, if I don't watch an episode, I probably won't never get back to it. Or it'd be like 2-3 years from now, I'm like, oh shit, that's the thing, the show I was watching with Keenan, let me finish it. Like, it just kind of like, there's nothing overly about it that makes me like, all right, let me pull it up and watch it. But when I'm watching it, I'm like, yo, this shit is dope. But there's nothing that makes me just kind of want to come back to it. But like I said, I really like, I like some aspects of Mugen, like the overall kind of character that he is, but then his moral compass is so trash that it's like, all right, bro, like, it's I can't rock with that. I like how you fight. I like how you go about, you know, you always want to get to the action, but your moral compass is cool. And then Jin is dope. I just like, you know, how he's, you know, they balance each other out well.
Yeah.
I see them fighting to the death at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's probably where it's going to go. I kind of, just based off of all of the anime that I've watched, I can kind of see where this whole show is going. Like, I can kind of write it out. But it has tricked me already, so I don't know. Because, like I said, I thought they were planning together and then they ended up not. So if they, I think if they keep you on your feet and keep having them going at each other, then it can really turn out to be something. I just, I would hate for it to just be like this happy ending where everybody figures everything out and they end up being a team, and I'm like,
Well, so it's only one season, so I know something has to happen. It doesn't go past one season.
It's like 26 episodes or something.
Short. For me, and I'm on your side, Rob. Like, remember, I like the characters that are kind of like calm, cool, and collected, like the cool characters.
Yeah.
I'm not really a wild, like, that's why I like the, you know, the, like I said before, the Trunks and even, what's the name in, Yu Yu Hakusho, Kumara, Kumara and, I'm sorry, and Hiei. I think it's good, but I'm kind of with Ice on that. I'm kind of like if we wasn't watching this, there's nothing that's like making me worry. Like, I want to go back home today and finish this up like immediately.
Right.
It's nothing like that. So I think so far it's cool. You kind of got me pulled in a lot more than this one did. But when I watched this one, it's definitely it is fun to watch while I'm watching it. I agree with his moral compass being trash. But the soundtrack is fire.
Yes. It's great, yeah.
And this leads me to my last question, you guys. What would be your fighting soundtrack?
My fighting soundtrack.
Like, what album? What album would you choose if you had to fight to?
Oof, in the background, tough.
and that would make you fight better.
Man, like, I don't want. I'm not trying to put out dead air. I'm just really thinking about it. That's a good question.
Maybe if you don't have one, I have different ones.
Mm-hmm. You want to start it out?
Yeah, okay.
I would definitely. Oh, yeah.
You want me to start? Okay. For me, I think just for aggression, I would probably go like to some type of DMX album.
Yeah.
Just because, like, aggression wise, like, one of my favorite albums is Styles P, Gangsta and the Gentleman, so I thought of that too. But like, for some reason, I think like a DMX album like would just give me that type of aggression to be like. Even if somebody stabbed me, I'd just be like, well, fuck that up. Let's go, baby. Like, I'd still be pumped to keep going because his albums are so aggressive. That's what I used to. When I played sports, that was my album of choice when I was in 10th, 9th grade. Yeah. And that's what I listened to get pumped up for basketball games. So it would probably be some type of DMX album. One of the first two.
Until You With Me comes on and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Skip.
Yeah.
How's it going down?
Yeah.
I think for me, it'd probably be like, first thing that came to mind when you said that was Yeezus. I think that would be like, just even that black skinhead, that boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, like that whole thing, and then Blood on the Leaves, and like just that whole, sonically, the album, and that's a whole nother tangent, but I think that's one of his best albums. But
wow.
Yeah.
Most people would not agree. I'm on you. I like that album. Most people won't agree. They hate that album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
I love that album. It's only one song on there that I don't really like, but. Other than that, I fuck with that album, but like just from top to bottom, just how hard it goes and how crazy those beats are. That's something that I would need when I'm fighting and going hard. So yeah, that would be mine.
Jesus.
All right. Shit. I feel all right. I'm just gonna go with one. I'm always like indecisive with these kind of stuff, but these kind of questions. But I think I'm just gonna go with my first inclination was Queens of the Stone Age. Songs for the Deaf is a really good album. I like that one a lot. That was the one where they had Dave Grohl on the drums, and he killed it. And like they got songs like Six Shooter, Hanging Tree. Those are really loud, aggressive, fast songs.
Right? Yeah.
So I think I would go with that.
So yeah, and that's what I feel like for something like that in fighting, I have to be kind of like fast, aggressive, hardcore, right. Or something gritty as hell.
Yeah.
You know.
Or so, it'd be cool on the opposite end. It's like it's just some like Mr. Rogers. Or like
that would
some
fuck with people,
yeah,
man.
Yo, like some Commodores, like easy like Sunday morning. Oh no, see, you just fucking people up.
If somebody put that on before they're about to fight me, I would kind of panic. Yeah, I'd be like, all right, this person is clearly a psychopath.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I would be very, very nervous.
Some Sesame Street shit.
Yeah, just like Chicken Barney. I love you.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Slicing heads off.
That shit would be wild.
Okay. Well, like that's pretty much the end of the podcast right there. We're watching Samurai Champloo. What would be you guys out there in the world, what would be your soundtrack to fighting, guys? I want to know that. Leave that on the comment section on the Facebook page. And Rob, want to give your details?
Yeah, at RVDanger44 on Twitter, at RVDanger on Instagram. And do we want to give them a heads up on possibly
We're not going to, Rob and I, so we're going to probably be out of town, so there's not going to be a podcast next week, so we'll be back the week after that.
Going to go out and have some adventures and then reassemble the week after.
Assemble your crew, we'll be outside.
Exactly. Sorry, but anyway, not to interrupt.
Go ahead, Ice, you get your information.
Oh, yeah, the Eye Exam, TheEyeXam, that's on all social media platforms that you can find me.
And I am Keenan Baker on all platforms, KEENAN. And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Hanime Shun.
And so anime was solved forever.